Free Talk Live. The toll-free number, 800-259-9231. As we kick off hour number two of the Wednesday edition of the show, it's Ian here with you.
And Melissa.
And Mark.
And you can join us online, of course, at freetalklive.com. Everything on our website, totally free for the taking. That's freetalklive.com. Still to come here tonight, we've got a story about the Park Service apparently just not wanting to talk about some of the deaths that have occurred on their property. In fact, you can't even get information out of them with the Freedom of Information Act request. So we'll clue you in on that. 800-259-9231. Also coming up, Provo, Utah has a snow cone ban. Huh?
What?
It sounds surreal, but it's actually true. We'll give you the details. But first, Mark, let's talk about Montana. What are they doing?
That apparently Montana is just cutting in on all these taxes from other states, and it's irking the crap out of the states. From the Kansas City Star, thousands of Americans are avoiding millions and millions, no, it just says millions, of dollars in taxes by registering their motorhomes in Montana. And there's not much anyone is doing about it. Many state officials elsewhere, including those in cash-hungry Missouri and Kansas, bitterly complain that the tax-free RV roadshow is turning the Treasure State into a tax scofflaw haven.
Ooh.
Wow. They really put that down.
Yes, here in on Free Talk Live, we do like tax scofflaw havens.
Yeah.
This is a tax scam and a fraud, said Matt Moser, manager of the Title and Registration Bureau for the Kansas Department of Revenue. They're keeping my money. It's my money. I should be able to have that. Whether it's
as though his paycheck's going to suffer whether or not that money comes in or not. Come on.
Well, it's his job to, you know, go after that money and take it. Well, whether it's legal depends on whether you're talking to state officials and lawyers in Montana or in other states. Montana authorities maintain it is completely illegal. Missouri and Kansas officials argue, no, it's not. Legal or not, the practice has been going on for years and appears to be growing. At least 8 million U.S. households now own at least one RV, and sales are booming, up to 15% in the past 4 years, as word spreads about the Montana tax breaks. Kansas and Missouri motorhome enthusiasts taking advantage of the loophole in Montana law, for example, can save up to $10,000 a year in taxes.
Oh, my goodness.
That's quite a bit.
On a $150,000 vehicle.
Oh, my gosh.
Can you believe that costs that much? In Montana, registering the same motorhome costs about $1,300 in fees and legal costs. So, apparently...
Do you have to pay the $1,300 every single year in Montana as well, or you just register once and that's it? You're done.
I would think that that would cost that, yeah.
You think it would be
yearly?
Yearly? I mean, even so, it's still way better than paying 10 times as much. I mean, that's fantastic.
Well, it's as opposed to $11,000 in Missouri.
So... There's 8 million, see if I understand this right, there's 8 million RV owners. There's at least 8 million RVs on the road. What percentage of them are actually registered in Montana, though? Does the article know? Does it answer?
It doesn't say. The sales of RVs have gone up 15% in the past 4 years in Montana. So, you know.
They are so expensive, too. I mean, what do they cost these days? I know a few
years
back it
was... $150,000 for one.
That's it?
Yeah. I thought it was more than that, but that...
I thought it was $200,000, $300,000.
I'm sure you can get them,
right.
these rolling chateaus.
Still, that's quite a bit.
$150,000's got to be the budget buy version nowadays because of inflation and just the prices on everything just going up, up, up.
Maybe. $150,000 on a depreciating asset doesn't...
It's crazy.
It doesn't seem like a good investment to me.
Well, it's not. Who would think it was an investment? I mean, does anybody really believe that an RV is an investment?
No, but the money that you're living in it, so it's like as opposed to a house.
Yeah.
And a house is an investment. An RV
No,
isn't.
A house isn't an investment.
A house certainly is an investment.
The property is an investment.
Okay, the property is an investment as opposed to the house that sits on it. You're right. And it's a depreciating asset still.
But it doesn't depreciate as fast as the RV.
Nothing depreciates as fast
as the
vehicle.
No, you drive the RV off the lot, it's already depreciated.
Oh, yeah.
Well, imagine to yourself, let's see, I can have a new RV or a 10-year-old one. Which one do I think, you know, when I think of a 10-year-old vehicle, I think of a tired sort of vehicle. It's, you know, a bit worn out and old. When I think of a 10-year-old house, I think of a new one.
So, relatively, yeah.
Yeah, if you're thinking about a depreciating asset, houses, not nearly as fast as
RVs.
Well,
I mean, does anybody really stretch their budget to buy an RV? I suppose there might be people out there like that, but I've always gotten the impression that it's sort of the individuals that are retired, they're doing very well for themselves. It's no thing for them to slap down $150,000 just at once just to buy themselves an RV. I'm sure some people are out there financing it. I wonder about that. I wonder, what is your average RV buyer? What's the demographic of somebody like that? How many of them are buying them outright with cash? How many of them are actually getting on payment plans?
Well, they probably have attractive payment plans, just like they do for cars.
Yeah.
So
they sell it to the family,
yeah,
to the vacation family.
The idea is that you would you probably have the money anyway, but you certainly are. They're probably doing low financing and all that good stuff.
Well, if you have the money, why would you finance?
If it's low enough, the cost of money, you could invest the money that you have in something else. If, for instance, you believe that you could get 10% in a mutual fund, you would put the money in a mutual fund and then pay the 2.9% interest on the RV.
Got it.
Now, so, go ahead, Ian. I was going to kind of change.
All the time. You go.
I was just going to say that it's just funny about this story with the taxes, where I know that, you know, you can register a vehicle. I remember at times here in Florida, in the state of Florida, when the registrations were high on vehicles and people were registering their vehicles in Georgia, Alabama, places like that. So this doesn't seem like something new. I think this has been done in the past with other, in a different form.
They're just angry. They're angrier now because it's an RV, and you can really tax RVs compared to cars.
Right. Well, it's a luxury. You shouldn't be able to have something that nice, and we can put $13,000 in fees on you, whereas apparently 30,000 motorhomes have been registered in Montana for people living elsewhere, and
That
brings about $5 million in registration fees a year to Montana, which is
Montana.
Yeah, a fraction of what other states
are. What they're losing in other states, too.
I think the 46th, as far as 46th state on the population rank, it's not very high up there. Not a lot of people in Montana. Are Kansas or the other states threatening to file a lawsuit here, or are they just puffing?
They're looking at what it would take to enforce existing laws, make new laws, track down owners, you know, that kind of thing.
You think they're going to go after the owners of the RVs and just sort of basically threaten them and say, you're not supposed to be doing this?
I think that they're going to try to use existing laws to track them down, make them pay. Not to say the existing laws are entirely effective in this
circumstance. Right, because they're not breaking a law, per se, by registering their vehicle elsewhere.
Well, if you live in the state, you're supposed to have your vehicle registered there.
Or if you run a business, are you supposed to have your business registered in the state? I mean, there's lots of people that go to Nevada for that, right?
And Delaware.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I don't see states getting... I mean, states have to be angry about that, but Nevada's been getting away with it for years.
Yeah, it looks here like apparently the reason that it makes dollars and cents in Jackson County, a person who buys a new $150,000 motorhome would pay $11,000 in state and local taxes and registration fees. In Johnson County, Kansas, the taxes and fees in the same vehicle would be another $11,000, basically.
Mm-hmm.
But in Montana, the RV owner would spend only $1,341. To have a law firm register it there.
Right.
Yeah.
Hmm. Now, you had mentioned that there was a loophole in the Montana law. Does it state specifically what that loophole actually is?
Well, apparently you have to set up an LLC in Montana that owns the RV, and that costs you a whopping $300. And this LLC
to save
is a tax haven. Yeah.
Right, so that's why you have to have a lawyer set it up for you, and the lawyer buys the RV for you, essentially, through the corporation.
Right, but you're going to save on your first year of registration.
Yeah.
In Montana. So if you're going to buy a motorhome, register it in Montana.
Montana, no kidding.
There you go. Hey, consumer tips here on Free Talk Live. 800-259-9231. Well, here's another tip for you. If you're going to sell shave ice... I said it correctly, shave ice. And I was incorrect before. It's not actually a snow cone. There is a difference. You're going to learn something new here, I guarantee it. 800-259-9231. If you want to sell shave ice in Utah, you have to wait until June. We'll give you the details.
I don't think I'm going to learn anything. I think I'm going to be disgusted.
Free Talk Live.
People who use Cartabite know about the pollutants in our body and want them out. For over 5 years, Cartabite has proven itself time-tested. Here's Dr. Mattson, a naturopathic doctor's thoughts on Cartabite.
In our mind, there isn't such a great big mystery to disease anymore. This basic tenet of yeast in the gut and metals in the liver covers at least 70-80% of the diseases that we see. When we do our program, herbal formulas like Cartabite, and you see someone who could barely walk up a hill now going for regular jogs, few months later, we know we're doing something right. It's a well thought out formula. I mean, the idea of it working on yeast and metals both at the same time and liver function is dead on. You'll find, I think, that it'll work more than just on heart problems and circulation problems. It'll work on other problems as well.
For more information, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our website at www.heartdrop.com. That toll-free number again, 1-877-928-8822.
When making important financial decisions, you should always know the facts. That's why Midas Resources is willing to pay you to read the facts. Midas Resources, a team of hand-picked financial specialists with decades of financial experience who are ready to provide you with state-of-the-art, up-to-date financial services. Midas Resources offers a host of services and stands behind their products. In fact, if you call and order their free Midas report, Midas Resources will pay you. This detailed report will provide you with financial history on the safest and most profitable areas to invest in. If you read the report, Midas Resources will send you a free Walking Liberty silver half dollar. So what are you waiting for? Get the facts and call Midas Resources toll free at 888-292-2709. That's 888-292-2709. And remember, if you read the Midas report, you'll receive a free Walking Liberty silver half dollar.
Do you feel like you should be free to live your life how you want, so long as your actions don't harm anyone else? There's good news. You're not alone. Thousands of people like you are going to move to New Hampshire so we can reclaim our lost liberties. Be a part of the Second American Revolution. Join the Free State Project. You can learn more about the Free State Project at freestateproject.org or call toll-free 1-888-532-4604. That's 888-532-4604 or visit freestateproject.org.
Republicans took over Congress more than 10 years ago. Since then, the government has grown by $1 trillion. This spending explosion has happened in part because Congress doesn't read the huge bills they pass. I'm Jim Babka with DownsizeDC.org. Our new proposal stops Congress from passing bills they haven't read. It's called the Read the Bills Act. The Read the Bills Act will slow Congress down, way down. It's easy for you to help make this bill the law of the land. You can learn more at DownsizeDC.org. That's DownsizeDC.org.
Now you can bring Berkey Purification Power anywhere with the Sport Berkey Filtration Bottle. Ideal for sporting games, camping or boating, or Sport Berkey is small enough to store in your glove box, so it's ideal backup for unexpected emergencies like blackouts, floods, or earthquakes. It's simply the best personal water filtration system available. So effective you can drink raw, untreated water from lakes, rivers, and streams. Unlike other sport bottles, the Sport Berkey's patented filter formulation is so powerful it removes cysts, parasites, harmful bacteria, and chemicals like herbicides and pesticides. It even reduces radon 222, lead, and other heavy metals. This lightweight, rugged 22-ounce filter is small enough to go everywhere, so take one to work and keep another in your glove box for emergencies. Get the Berkey Sport for only $39. Get two for $70 by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. Order your Berkey Sport today. That's toll-free, 888-803-4438, or order on the web at berkeywater.com.
This is Free Talk Live. Call toll-free 1-800-259-9231. That's 800-259-9231. And get interactive at freetalklive.com.
This is Free Talk Live. The toll-free number is 800-259-9231. Wednesday edition of the show. It's Ian here with you.
Melissa's here, too.
And Mark.
800-259-9231. You bring up whatever's on your mind. You can join us online at freetalklive.com. The Shrine of Female Listeners is there with dozens of ladies that have sent us their photo validated, which means that in the picture they're proving that they listen to the show. Shrine of Female Listeners at freetalklive.com. From Provo, Utah, the DeseretNews.com reporting here, the temperature hit 85 degrees on Monday, could touch 90 by Wednesday, but in Provo, only scofflaws dared to turn to shave ice for retreat, for relief.
You never hear the word scofflaw and hear it twice in the same hour.
Yep. After all, the snowy treat is illegal to sell in Provo until June. Obviously, this was written in May. It's kind of a dumb law, I think, says Taylor Hedman, a 14-year-old with a portable snowy machine.
Well, and he's right. He got a little stuck there.
Yep, she's absolutely right. And she has a snowy machine. She wanted to open up a stand in time to raise money for an upcoming class trip. She wanted to sell shave ice in Provo, Utah.
Well,
which is a great idea.
But if you have a class trip, it goes on at a certain time, so you have to be able to sell just prior to that to raise the money to be able to go.
Exactly.
And this great law of theirs about shaved ice being sold before June, God knows you wouldn't want to do that, has prevented her from raising the money in that manner.
Yep, her father,
quite possibly going on the trip.
Her father, Justin, is a Provo firefighter. When he and others called to complain about the obscure ordinance, the mayor and the city council took notice. The mayor says, it's true, you can't sell shave ice in Provo until June 1st. Billings, Mayor Lewis Billings informed the council at a recent meeting. He reacted the same way that Ms. Taylor did. He says, I thought it was stupid. Why do we care if they shall sell shaved ice before June 1st?
Well, why did somebody pass a law before that?
Ordinance 14.35020 covers temporary land uses like firework stands or Christmas tree lots. Shaved ice stands are included, as are tents for religious services, revivals, retreats, political rallies, or campaign headquarters.
Mm.
Such temporary setups are allowed with proper permits for up to 30 days, quote, except shaved ice stands, which may be permitted from June 1st to September 30th.
Huh? What?
Hawaii, by the way, is the birthplace of shave ice, commonly and incorrectly known as shaved ice, and they are not snow cones.
So there is a difference.
Here is the difference. Connoisseurs of shave ice look down their noses at snow cones. A snow cone is made of ice ground into small or often large chunks that don't hold the syrup, which then pools at the bottom of the paper cone. Shave ice, on the other hand, is shaved off of a big block into flakes described as snowy, fluffy, or powdery. This softer ice is much easier to eat and absorbs the syrup.
Mm-hmm.
So
it does sound better.
It does. It sounds
high quality.
They do make
it sound good.
I'd like to have one, as a matter of fact.
Well, you can now, because it's June.
Well, I could have one here anyway.
Yes, any time of year.
I don't live in Provo.
I've never seen this sold around here. I've seen snow cones, but never shave ice.
I think that I've seen shave ice.
Well, Taylor says, it's like snow, so you can eat it instead of like ice, which you have to suck on. There's more flavor, and it's definitely sweeter. She, by the way, offers more than 100 flavors at her shave ice stand.
So I wonder if that means that she actually offers 10 flavors, and then you can
mix them
in any way to get to 100. Bubblegum and raspberry, yummy.
Well, now the council is talking...
Blueberry and watermelon.
Now the council's talking about changing the law, but they can't get it done until 2007, apparently.
Mm.
So... You know,
emergency session.
Right. Apparently, the mayor and the other city officials didn't know how a past council decided on June 1st is open season on shave ice. Yeah, I wonder what politics were in play behind the scenes to make that decision.
I can't imagine, but I'm sure they thought it was a great idea at the time, just like all laws.
Were the ice cream stores lobbying against the shave ice stands? I mean, what was going on?
It could very well be.
It always seems like a good idea to pass some law or another at the time of it, and then you'd never look at the unintended consequences of that law. Here's the unintended consequences. This girl may very well not have been able to go on her class trip because of the stupid law.
Well, listen to what it's going to take to change the law. Change will come slowly. It must start with a hearing of the Planning Commission, which must recommend an amendment to the City Council. The mayor doesn't want to wait that long. Quote, since we feel like there's pending legislation on shave ice, we're not going to enforce the ordinance. Yay!
Good for him. Thank goodness.
It's finally a politician making a sensible decision, but... What would have happened if the individual in question wasn't little 14-year-old Taylor?
That's true.
What if it was a 28-year-old guy that wanted to set up his own shave ice stand? Do you think they would be busting their butts to, you know, not enforce the law on this one? Would there be a whole newspaper article dedicated to the fact that this guy was being prevented from running a business for several months out of the year?
The answer to that is no, absolutely. A resounding no. They wouldn't bother at all unless you can get some kind of saleable story behind it. And the mayor can get some kind of political capital, and that's what happened in this particular circumstance. But, what would happen if right now somebody who wasn't in political favor, and I don't know why, or wasn't a friend of the mayor's, or was an enemy of the mayor's,
mm-hmm.
decided they wanted to open a snow cone, a shave ice?
Now the mayor has announced that there will be no enforcement?
And just out of curiosity, if you opened a snow cone dealership. I don't know. What do you call these things?
Yeah. store?
Yeah, vending area.
Cart. In May, would you then be subject to this law because it wasn't, in fact, shave ice?
That's a good question.
We're not serving shave ice right now, officer. These are snow cones.
Low-grade snow cones available here.
Well, what if you just called them snow cones and you didn't call them shave ice?
Might be subject to inspection. Well, it's
shave
by the way,
almost sounds like a brand name.
By the way, it's already too late for Ms. Taylor. She already makes enough money with her stand and working for the family lawn care business to pay for most of her clothes and all of her activities. Her mom said, "We just wanted to teach her work ethic, budgeting, and accounting." Taylor hoped to open the stand earlier in May and raise the rest of the $1,100 she'd need for a 2-week trip to Guatemala, but they followed the law, and so therefore she wasn't able to open her shave ice stand, and therefore she wasn't able to go on the trip.
Really, really unfortunate.
What I want to know is, how did you find out about it? I mean, did you go through the process of researching, you know, whether or not there were regulations on the shaved ice machine? What does one do when they want to go and start a shaved ice machine and, you know, put it up somewhere?
I can't imagine how they found out about this law, but I would assume that it was enforced on other people, and that's how they found out about it.
She did raise the money for the trip, but even without the law, her business faced another hurdle. The local grocery store where she was going to open her stand this year doubled its asking price from $500 a month to $1,000 per month. That's a pretty steep rent.
Yeah, I wonder why they raised it.
For Provo, Utah, for a little girl running an ice cream stand.
Well, I would assume that it had to do with... I don't know. It's a tourist location, isn't it?
It's $1 per snowy to $4 for a 32-ounce cup with toppings. That was too steep for Taylor. She hopes the Central Provo gas station will accept an offer for the stand. Meanwhile, she's learned a number of lessons from her enterprise. One is that you can fight City Hall. Another...
Sorry, Taylor. Only if you're 14, and have to go on a class trip.
That's true. Well, maybe this is advice for all those of you out there having trouble with the city. The city that you live in. Maybe you're trying to set up your own business, and they're not allowing you because of some asinine law. All you have to do is recruit a cute 14-year-old kid and act as though that they were the ones trying to set up the stand, and call the newspaper and get an article printed about it, and then maybe they'll repeal the law for a while. That's apparently the only way you can do it, because otherwise you're screwed. 800-259-9231 is the toll-free number. You take control of the airwaves. You can bring up whatever's on your mind. Have you ever tried to open up a business and just found that the regulations were far too oppressing? Share your story with us. It's Free Talk Live.
Herbal Healer Academy is a global supplier of the finest natural medicine that you may need in these troubled times. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECAC, colloidal silver 500 parts per million, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for contrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning, to name a few. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. For a limited time, you can sign up on the website and receive our 104-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com. Check out our online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. We have been working hard since 1988 to save the remnant. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education.
What's better than a tiny tiger in your tank? A tornado under your hood. A tornado is an easy-to-install, maintenance-free air twister designed to increase gas mileage. I personally commissioned independent tests to verify results in 6 vehicles, and all of them gained MPG with tornado. With today's gas prices, it makes sense to cage the gas-saving power of a tornado. Visit tornadoair.com or pick up your tornado at Checker, Shucks, and Cragen today.
In today's world of discord and disappointment, one thing's for sure. Car cover owners are so satisfied, they buy their car covers all over again. Think car covers are a hassle? No. Research shows owners find covers easy to put on and take off. Are all covers the same? No. The standard in car cover fabric is Blockit by Kimberly Clark. Don't let sun and dust damage your car. Kimberly Clark's Blockit fabric's got you covered. That's Blockit by Kimberly Clark.
We understand that decisions related to health can be overwhelming. That is why at ResearchedHerbs.com we take pride in offering you herbs whose safety and effectiveness have been proven time and time again. For example, did you know that Live 52, the top-selling natural herbal supplement for liver diseases since 1930, is backed by over 300 research studies and clinical trials and prescribed by more than 200,000 health professionals worldwide? In fact, the effectiveness of all the herbs featured on ResearchedHerbs.com, including those for cholesterol, blood pressure, diabetes, arthritis, cirrhosis, and hepatitis, among others, is extremely well documented. Our website, ResearchedHerbs.com, was created to empower you with the information and answers you need to make the right health decisions. Researched and proven herbs at great prices. Visit us online at ResearchedHerbs.com or call 1-800-845-3841 for more information. That's 1-800-845-3841. You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
This is Free Talk Live. The toll-free number is 800-259-9231. You bring up whatever's on your mind. Toll-free, 800-259-9231. It's Ian here with you.
And Melissa.
And Mark.
You can join us online at freetalklive.com. The archives are there. In fact, an entire year's worth of the show right there on the front page of the website for your downloading convenience. You pay nothing. You just go and get them. freetalklive.com. Also, you should know that Free Talk Live is brought to you by the Free State Project's First 1000 Pledge. Are you just going to talk about freedom, or are you going to start living it now? Learn how the First 1000 Pledge can make it happen today at freestateproject.org. Again, that's freestateproject.org. This from educationnews.org, from New York. The New York state government apparently has been shipping kids out of state to have them tortured.
What?
Yeah.
You're making something
no,
up.
No. This is Education News. To sum things up in a nutshell, as part of the New York State's government move to end out-of-state placements for exceptionally severely disabled kids, the New York State Education Department is moving to allow the use of all aversives, including electric shock, as aversives on disabled kids in all New York State schools and all publicly operated or publicly government-funded programs, in all state-approved private schools, in all residential schools.
Well, electric shock is a medical treatment, and some people say it's terrible. Some people say it works for them. You know, it's worked for them. I've certainly read online people saying that, you know, if it wasn't for electroshock therapy, EST, I wouldn't be the same guy I am today or whatever.
And
if you think about it, I mean, we are electric synapses.
Sounds horrible.
Delivered by chemical processes in a brain. If you can use the electricity to change things that are going on in the brain, it might very well work.
What if you're just using the electricity to keep a kid quiet?
In mind.
Well, those kids have parents, I would assume.
Yeah.
And those parents would should be deciding what the treatment for those children should be. I can't
think. They should be. And I agree with you. Parents should be more involved in their kids' education. However, as we know, when the government comes along and says, don't you worry now, parents, we'll take care of your children for you. Well, you don't even have to decide where to send your kids to school. We'll take care of all of the decisions. You just get them up at a certain time in the morning, trot them right out to this here location, and we'll pick them up in our yellow bus. And you won't have to do a single bit of thinking. And it's a tasty option for parents. Say, people in general, like having responsibility lifted from their shoulders. And so as a result, we have stories like this. And you can say what you want about electroshock, Mark. I think it sounds personally horrible.
Well, that's what you say it sounds like. You're not a professional.
Well,
this
is a professional organization that is an organization of educators of special needs kids that is coming out and talking against this. So let me continue here. Disabled kids subject to family juvenile court placements will also come under this proposal. At this time, there's no legal or regulatory authorization for the use of painful aversives in any New York State school, public or private, state-approved or not. The way the proposal is written, however, it will literally allow any little local school district to set up its own committee of experts, experts being completely undefined, and approve the district using any aversive that it wants. So right now, Mark, in the state of New York, they are not allowed to use pain-inducing aversives.
Okay.
It's off the table. Now they're saying they want to be able to use them. It'll apparently, by the way, will protect district schools programs, IEAs. I'm not sure what that means. It's sort of like an internal, you know, an inside school article.
Right.
From being sued for unconstitutional, cruel, and inhumane treatment of disabled kids, which appears to be what this proposal is designed to allow. It is simply cruel and inhumane, period. The proposal to allow this abuse is breathtaking in its scope and virtually unlimited in what it will permit. The New York State Education Department is one of the few state education or state child welfare departments which currently approves sending severely disabled kids to the Judge Rotenberg School in Massachusetts, where aversive electric shocks are used on a continuous basis.
Good Lord.
Currently, some little districts, also some state-approved private special ed schools, do the following to kids with disabilities. Number one, young kids with autism being strapped into restraining Rifton chairs for hours on end.
Now, I've heard that, I've also heard that as far as autism goes, that they can have a successful treatment by binding the kids, and I believe that's what we're talking about there.
I mean, if they feel comforted. When you say successful, are you saying we're successful in keeping them from flapping, stimming, and, you know, basically being running around everywhere? Is that the success that you're talking about, or are we talking about success in educating them?
I believe that I've seen a PBS special on autism, and there were several people interviewed that said that they found the whole binding process to be comforting and that they did it on a regular basis themselves. They one woman had created her own machine to bind her up.
Now, binding, they're saying that this is comforting to the child.
Wait, the kids themselves are saying they're comforting?
These were two adults that I saw on a PBS special.
They have autism.
Yes.
So they're recalling back to when they were bound in the past.
Well, one of them built her own machine so that she could do it on a regular basis.
She could bind herself on a regular basis.
She felt comforted.
According to this organization, it's not just restraint. It's torture for young children who cannot necessarily communicate what's being done to them and are powerless to make it stop. Number two. These are, again, some of the things that are done at this Rotenberg school. Young kids, some of whom have never been evaluated, much less classified and disabled, thrown into timeout isolation rooms daily for hours on end with no free access to toilets or water. Are you going to make an excuse for that one, Mark?
That's just flat-out torture right there.
One was found unconscious in one of these rooms a few years ago. It was hypothesized that... This goes on in New York State, not just that one school. It was hypothesized that the kid had a seizure, but nobody knows because no one was watching him.
So they don't even have cameras in these isolation rooms at all?
There's no guarantee anyone's even watching the camera anyway. Kids being thrown into timeout rooms for lengthy periods of time with no access to toilets or water. Some have floor coverings which retain dried feces, urine, saliva, and other bodily fluids. Mm. We're talking about possibly carpeting or something like that. One kid apparently clawed his fingers bloody just trying to get out of the room that he was trapped in. The article says, I'm told that at least some of these floor coverings therefore represent imminent public health dangers, potential transmission of HIV, hepatitis, etc. The school department's guidelines say the districts have to meet all local safety and health codes. They don't say how, and they don't even police the requirement anyway. Number three, no limits on restraints at all. Kids of all ages are being beaten up by adults in the course of being physically restrained. Currently, they have no guidelines, regulations at all on restraints and no requirement whatsoever that anyone who uses them have training, period.
Well, it doesn't sound good.
The proposal would legitimize use of restraints and require training as appropriate. These are words that are actually from the proposal, with no definition of appropriate.
Right.
Think 5 minutes of a training film or less for appropriate training. I get contacts regarding a kid being beaten or hurt while being restrained in regular little districts. This must be a term that's only in New York. I've never heard it before. Little districts. It's used several times here. On a regular basis. A teacher once threw a young developmentally disabled child into a timeout room, quote, because he didn't eat his lunch.
Oh my gosh.
Or so she told the mom, who found out about it by accident from another parent.
Ugh.
So there's a lot of bad stuff going on behind the scenes in New York State's education department. And according to this article, there's a proposal on the table that's going to make it worse. We'll come back with more. It's your show, Free Talk Live.
Makes you wonder about your state.
If the cost of your prescriptions are getting out of control, you want to listen carefully to this. RxDrugCard.com is a simple, innovative program designed to give individuals the same purchasing power as large HMOs and insurance companies. As a member of RxDrugCard.com, you'll enjoy savings of up to 80% on all prescription medications at over 52,000 USA pharmacies, including Walmart, Walgreens, and Eckerd's. Don't risk ruining your health by using cheap, counterfeit, foreign drugs. This program provides savings on safe, genuine, FDA-approved medications. With low membership fees, unlimited use, no age or income requirements, and coverage for all pre-existing conditions, RxDrugCard.com is an absolute must for anyone who pays for their own prescriptions. Enroll today for as little as $4.50 per month at www.RxDrugCard.com and start saving immediately. RxDrugCard.com is backed by a 30-day money-back guarantee. Visit RxDrugCard.com or call 888-216-2461. That's 888-216-2461.
Would you like to get involved with pro-liberty causes but just can't find the time? Let us spread the word about freedom for you. Consider becoming a Free Talk Live amplifier now for just $3 a month, and you'll help Free Talk Live get on more radio stations and more MP3 players. That means more new people coming across the message of freedom every day. Once we reach our goal, we'll cut 4 minutes of commercials per hour out of our show. For all the details, visit amp.freetalklive.com. That's amp.freetalklive.com.
Do you feel like you should be free to live your life however you want, so long as your actions don't harm anyone else? There's good news. You are not alone. Thousands of people like you are going to move to New Hampshire so we can reclaim our lost liberties. Be part of the Second American Revolution. Join the Free State Project. You can learn more at freestateproject.org or call toll-free 1-888-532-4604. That's 1-888-532-4604 or visit freestateproject.org.
Why continue to suffer from pain, illness, and disease when natural health and wellness therapies are within your reach? Hundreds of people report improved health and wellness using Rife frequency technology. In the 1920s, research scientist Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease organisms could be destroyed using resonant frequencies. The BioSolutions frequency instrument uses this same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions. There are no side effects. Join others in discovering a return to natural health and wellness. BioSolutions has over 550 programmed auto-sequences for various health conditions and is very easy to use. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. Ask about our spring special now in progress. For more information, call BioSolutions toll-free at 866-885-6625. That's 866-885-6625. Once again, that's 866-885-6625.
You're listening to Free Talk Live. Call toll-free 1-800-259-9231. That's 800-259-9231 and log on at freetalklive.com.
This is Free Talk Live. The toll-free number, 800-259-9231. That's 1-800-259-9231. It's Ian here with you.
And Melissa.
And Mark.
And join us online at freetalklive.com. Everything on our website is free. The wiki included, with over 650 unique pages created by our listeners. And you can be one of those people that's editing the wiki. You can go in and change anything that you see, virtually anything that you see. You can add to it as well. So add your own set of pages if you want to. It's totally open format.
Yeah, it's grown quite a bit.
It really has, and it's only been on since, I think, February. So.
Right.
Wiki, W-I-K-I dot freetalklive.com to get in on that fun. Well, we're talking about something that's not very fun at all from educationnews.org, exposing essentially the terrible situation in New York State in regards to developmentally disabled children, for instance, kids with autism. We know that much, at least. There might be other kids with disabilities here. They're going to special schools, but they're not getting very special treatment. In fact, they're kind of getting abusive treatment on the parts of some of these bureaucrats, who apparently have virtually no accountability when it comes to actually getting in trouble for, say, locking a kid in a room with no access to a toilet or water for an unspecified period of hours, even.
I think what the big crime here is that people should be able to treat their developmentally disabled children, you know, in whatever, you know, whatever treatment they think is going to be best for them.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't have a problem with electroshock therapy and those kind of things if they're administered by competent professionals. The problem is
that, and also if the parent has
knowledge,
has said yes, you can do this,
right? And
even then, I still question it because it sounds scary.
I understand that it does sound scary, but the fact is, you have to pay. If you were a citizen of the state of New York, you would have to pay for this this treatment of children, and you don't agree with it.
That's right.
And that's really wrong. And the people who are administering it don't have the same level of motivation that somebody who'd be working in a private school for the developmentally disabled.
Right. They
would
just
have.
Might want to shut the kid up as opposed to actually educate the kid. So we're going.
That could happen in either case, but I'm just saying that there's a financial motivation that's a lot stronger. There's no forced tax dollars funding the whole program.
They'd be more likely to handle the kid in a different manner if they were actually having to work for the money as opposed to getting a guaranteed government paycheck.
I have to agree.
We're going down a list of some of the things that are currently going on, some of the allegations that are currently being heard from parents with kids in the New York State school system. As you pointed out before, Mark, this is applicable anywhere, because this could be your school district as well.
Right. I'm sure that the people of New York aren't saying to themselves, well, I know that there's a big problem with our developmentally disabled education system, and we have to do something about it. They probably don't even know. And so you're sitting there right now listening, and you don't even know what's going on in your state.
Right. And if you are somebody that has become aware of this in your state, perhaps you have a child in one of these programs, and you've seen some of this abuse go on, you've heard about it, you want to share your story, 800-259-9231. Back to the list of things that's going on. Number four, currently at least one school in New York State uses liver powder sprinkled on food as an aversive for disabled children's bad food-related behavior. Now, I don't know what liver powder does, but it sounds pretty nasty.
It doesn't. It sounds like it just makes the food taste bad.
Right.
That's what I would think.
I don't know why they would do that.
Is it for a child maybe that's not eating their food?
And that's not what's that going to do?
It makes it sound like it's bad food-related behavior, playing with food, maybe throwing the food.
Why would the powder stop that? It's just weird.
I don't know.
I mean, we're going to make the food taste bad. I just assume.
Throw it.
None of it makes any sense to me. There must be something to do with liver powder that I don't quite get.
Number five, when an Associated Press reporter did a story showing that the percentage of districts making mandatory corporal punishment reports to the state to the education board had decreased, while the number of reports of corporal punishment use had increased, the New York State Education Department called it a reporting problem.
Oh, of course it was a reporting problem. They didn't want to admit to it.
Right. The AP story also noted that one teacher put a young child with a disability out in the cold in winter without shoes or a jacket as a punishment, and that as a result she was given a letter telling her not to do it again.
That was the punishment she got for sticking the child out in the cold. Slap on the wrist.
Yep.
Wow.
Typical bureaucrat punishment. No discipline for that teacher. The New York State Education Department accepted and filed this report and did nothing about it. A state senator who's a retired cop was quoted as saying what the teacher did was a crime and she should have been prosecuted, but wasn't. This is typical, apparently. New York State Education Department neither monitors nor actually regulates physical abuse of children in their schools, disabled or non-classified. Now it seeks to protect such abuse by regularizing it via its proposed regulatory scheme.
Now, wait a minute.
That'll change everything.
If that was a parent putting their child out in the cold.
That would be child abuse.
Yeah, that would be child abuse. The child would be taken from them.
Quickly.
I mean, it sounds similar to putting a child in a cage. I mean, you're locking them out of the house instead of forcing them in.
Exactly. And she definitely should have been prosecuted for that. And I'm wondering why or what their reasonings or explanation is for as to why they did nothing about it.
Now, the New York Special Education Department has had guidelines on the use of timeout rooms for 12 years. They're so vague that they prohibit virtually nothing. But more importantly, they're not policed or monitored by the department in any meaningful way, manner, or form.
Well, do I really want them policed or monitored? I don't think that the department's going to do a good job of doing that, and they would hire a whole section of bureaucrats to police
this. This isn't being written by a libertarian organization.
No.
It's being written by somebody that cares about kids, and their answer, of course, is checks and monitoring and... Obviously, it's the wrong answer. The right answer is to end the government schooling situation.
Absolutely.
But nonetheless, what's outrageous here is the stuff that's going on. And, for instance, one particular room had a chain and padlock on its door while the kids, one of the kids was inside. 800-259-9231, you take control of the airways. If you've got, again, a story about some of this that you might have experienced, share it with us. Your show. You can also bring up whatever you want. That's why we call it Free Talk Live.
Did you know the U.S. dollar was once a silver certificate? Not anymore. The Fed can print as many dollars as they wish, which makes the dollars that you have worth less and less. The solution? The Liberty Dollar. The Liberty Dollar is a private, legal currency that is 100% backed by gold and silver. Every time you spend a Liberty Dollar, you're helping return America to value, $1 at a time. To learn more, visit dollar.freetalklive.com or call 1-800-NEW-DOLLAR. That's 1-800-NEW-DOLLAR or visit dollar.freetalklive.com.
Surely you've heard that ignorance of the law is no excuse. I'm Jim Babka with DownsizeDC.org. So what's the excuse for your representatives in Congress? Their ignorance is even worse. They don't even read many of the laws they pass. At DownsizeDC.org, we're proposing a simple but powerful idea, the Read the Bills Act, to force Congress to read the laws they pass. Why? Because we believe the federal government is way too big. Visit DownsizeDC.org because ignorance is no excuse, even for a congressman.
Come on, Bill. 2 weeks ago, you were riding a bicycle, and today you're showing up in your new car and telling me you're buying a house? What did you do, rob Bill Gates?
No, John, I didn't rob Bill Gates. What I did do is visit the website www.didyourobbillgates.com. That's where I learned how to make $3,000 to $9,000 each and every week, starting with my very first week. It's a simple program that does all the work for you. I'm already up to $25,000 just going on my third week.
Whoa. What was that website again?
It's www.didyourobbillgates.com. Now write this down, John. You should go there and learn how this program can help you become financially independent, too.
Thanks, Bill. I'm going there right now.
Check, please.
You got this one, right, Bill?
Sure, John. Don't forget, it's www.didyourobbillgates.com. Next time, you'll be buying me lunch.
Deal.
Do you remember when you could eat most anything and not worry about it? Or maybe weight management has always been a problem. Are you frustrated, burned out, and tired of fad diets and marketing gimmicks that don't really work? Do you want a proven system, a long-term solution, to live a healthier lifestyle and properly manage your weight? At WeCanTogether.com, our approach is different. We focus on the whole you, personalized for your unique body composition, individual needs, and personal goals, not the cookie-cutter approach offered by others. Join today and have direct access to real people that are certified health and fitness professionals. Now there is help you can count on. WeCanTogether.com is the most complete, comprehensive wellness and training resource available on the web today. Visit us now and receive your free membership. Go to WeCanTogether.com. That's WeCanTogether.com.
This is Free Talk Live. Call toll-free 1-800-259-9231. That's 800-259-9231. And get interactive at freetalklive.com.
Free Talk Live, 800-259-9231. That's the toll-free number. You take control of the airwaves. Bring up whatever you want. It's Ian here with you.
And Melissa.
And Mark.
Join us online, freetalklive.com. On our website, we give you everything for free. In return, we ask for a simple vote, and we only ask that you do it once a month. You go to vote.freetalklive.com. Cast your vote for us. We're currently in number two. We've got about a 100-vote lead on the number three show, and we're way behind the number one show. So we definitely need to catch up. We need to double our votes from last month. So if you've already voted this month at vote.freetalklive.com, you already know that there's no spam involved here. You do have to have a legitimate email address, but you're not going to be spammed. You just go to vote.freetalklive.com. It takes you less than a minute, and tell some friends and ask them to do it for us as well, because it makes a big difference. Us being in the top 10 means more people coming across the show, because they'll go to Podcast Alley, see us there, and say, hey, what's that? They're at number two. They must be worth listening to. And they'll check us out, and they'll like us. So vote.freetalklive.com. This from educationnews.org here, continuing this horrific picture of the New York State schools. Again, this could be going on in your state, and you just might not know about it. Talking about some of the things that they're doing to the special education kids, to the disabled kids. Essentially, one particular timeout room had a chain and padlock on its door. The guidelines that the state has do bar locked doors. So when the situation hit the media, the regional associate from the department made an appointment to visit the school, and since, of course, the chain and padlock had been conveniently removed for her visit, found there was no violation of this requirement, although the complaint-finding letter did acknowledge that the department had received a picture of the timeout room with the chain and padlock on the door.
Wow.
So even though they got a picture of it, it wasn't,
well,
of course, good enough.
Mean anything.
We had to go investigate it, and when they investigated, there was nothing there, so no problem.
I wonder if they had prior knowledge as to when the investigator was going to be arriving.
I'm sure they did.
Yeah.
I mean, even the health inspectors for restaurants give prior information. You know this. I mean, working over at the great BK.
Yeah. Well, a lot of times we do get some surprise inspections don't know about. Yeah.
No,
yeah.
I've heard that that BK has their own set of private inspectors.
That is correct. We do have private inspectors that come in on a regular basis. We also have mystery shoppers.
Right. I would guess the private ones are more likely to be surprises than the government
ones
are.
Yes, absolutely.
So back to the school district. It was found to have violated the rule that district discipline codes have the use of timeout rooms in them, or they can't be used. I don't know what that means. And this is the only violation of any regulation, rule, or law found in this horrific case. The district was directed to either stop using the timeout room or put use of a timeout room in its district discipline code. Now, these proposed regulations that are on the floor here, one extra thing. The administrators told the kid's untenured teacher that if she told the boy's mom about the timeout room, she'd be fired. She would be absolutely fired if she ratted out to the parents.
Amazing.
So these new regulations that are being proposed would legitimize the use of unlimited aversives on these kids when they are not protected by law or regulation now, thus protecting the districts from any kind of lawsuit if they actually use and abuse these aversives. So right now there's not really anything from preventing them from using them, and they are. But now there's legislation pending to isolate them from lawsuit, period. This is what happens when you turn educating your kids over to the government, especially when you turn special needs kids over to the government. Boy, those are the last people that I would want to be putting my children, developmentally disabled, into their hands. Get them out of the government's hands and return them to the safety of the free market. Hour number three is on the way. You take control. Free Talk Live.
Looking for profit? Looking for safety and security? The $10 Olympic commemorative gold coin offers both. This low mintage collector coin with a total series mintage under $600,000 has sold at 4 times its current price. Falling dollar values and inflation make this likely to happen again. Secure your position today. Call Midas Resources at 1-800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
If you're a